Hello, my friend. Welcome aboard the Daily Dose of Disney. I'm Ray Keating, novelist, economist, and editor and publisher of DisneyBizJournal.com. So in this podcast, as I've said before, we serve up Disney or Disney-related stories, insights, debates, reviews, discussions, lessons, covering a wide range of topics. What's up today? More Indiana Jones. I rewatched Indiana Jones in the Dial of Destiny recently. So we're eventually going to get to my second review of that movie, but we're laying the groundwork first with the other films. And today we're up to Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And yes, out of 5 stars, I give this, drumroll please, 4.5. So this is based on, again, this and the other episodes regarding the previous movies based on pieces I've written over at DisneyBizJournal.com. But let's start right out. Stop the hate, people. Embrace Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull for the excellent movie that it is. Should we be surprised, given that Steven Spielberg once more was in the director's chair? No, we shouldn't. Since I first saw this film on its release date in 2008, I've always enjoyed it. But even coming out of the theater with friends that first night, the attacks were underway. The main beef, what was the deal with the aliens? Somehow, after all we saw Indiana Jones deal with in the three previous films, from Nazis being wiped from the earth by spirits emerging from the Ark of the Covenant, to voodoo and an evil cult leader ripping a beating heart from a candidate for human sacrifice, leaving the victim still alive, to the horrific results when water was drunk from a cup mistaken to be the Holy Grail, and the miraculous healing power that came via the actual Grail, audiences somehow decided that interdimensional aliens were just too far. Why? Especially since both Steven Spielberg and George Lucas said that the film would be inspired by 1950s sci-fi movies. So, why? I have no idea. Spielberg and Lucas gave us a heads up before the film came out. Others complained about Indiana Jones resorting to hiding in a lead-lined refrigerator as an atomic bomb was going off. The term nuking the fridge came into being to describe the moments in movies that simply go too far in terms of camp. Did these critics forget about jumping out of a crashing plane in Temple of Doom in an inflatable raft and Indian company living to tell the story? Or when a plane crashes into a tunnel in The Last Crusade and the wingless burning plane comes alongside Indiana Jones and his father in a car and they exchange goofy glances with the pilot? The point is that over-the-top, varying degree of campiness action has a robust history in indie films. It's actually hard to figure out why Kingdom of the Crystal Skull failed to receive the critical love that the previous three movies did, other than that perhaps critics forget what was in the earlier films, especially if they saw those at a much younger age. There's so much to like here. The film takes place in 1957, and the opening offers teenagers racing along in a hot rod while they are urging the lead car in an apparent military caravan to drag race. It's very, well, George Lucas. It turns out that the military personnel are Soviet agents in America, and they get into Area 51, and who is their prisoner? Indiana Jones. The film proceeds to offer some great indie-like action, with some amusing checks given that he is nearly 20 years older since we last saw him, and he has experiences of fighting and spying during World War II and afterwards. That action includes a fun motorcycle chase, a race and fight through the jungle, including the appearance of some massive man-eating ants, some sword fighting, and assorted narrow, harrowing escapes. The mysteries, puzzles, and searches related to the Crystal Skull possess typical Indiana Jones interest. For a long time, I did think that the third act needed some tighter editing, but upon this rewatch, I've changed my mind. No such need exists. For all of this, we have some real heart added to this movie as well, with the reappearance of Marion, Karen Allen, and her son, Mutt Williams, played by Shia LaBeouf, who turns out to be Indy's son, to the surprise of Indiana Jones. LaBeouf actually ably portrays Mutt, with Spielberg and the writers, David Kopp, George Lucas, and Jeff Nathanson, doing a nice job of some indie Mutt parallels to actions between Indiana Jones and his father in The Last Crusade. Indeed, the only moment or scene that I would criticize in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is when Mutt is swinging through the jungle with monkeys. Weird. As for the ending, I've read criticisms on this as well, and quite frankly, that is completely bewildering. The ending to this movie is, quite frankly, ideal. It brings the entire four films around so nicely, with Marion and Indy finally getting married. As people are leaving the church, Mutt goes to put on Indy's fedora, but just before he does, Indiana Jones comes along, reclaims the hat, smiles, and they all leave the church. That's near perfect. So give Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull the love it deserves. Thanks for listening. If you like action, adventure, thrillers, mysteries, please check out my Pastor Stephen Grant novels at Amazon.com and at RayKeatingBooksAndMore.com. There are 19 of those and more coming. Also, if you like, you know, action in a historical setting, please check out Cathedral, an Alliance of St. Michael novel. That's the first in that series. I'm writing the second one right now. Also available at Amazon.com and RayKeatingBooksAndMore.com. I hope you find value in some of this and all of this. And hey, have a magically productive day.